The sound you are hearing is made by almost 100 musicians warming up before a recording session in a large American Legion meeting hall with superb acoustics in Hollywood, California. Standing in front of the orchestra is a gray but vigorous man with a firm and expressive voice, rehearsing the Ninth Symphony of Gustav Mahler. He looks and sounds like a man in his late 60s. He's 84 years old. 50 years ago and 4,000 miles away, on a similar podium in Vienna, he stood rehearsing this same work for a world premiere performance shortly after the death of its composer, who was his friend and teacher. The Ninth is a very difficult symphony to play, and there is much work to do. On January 18, 1961, Dr. Walter begins rehearsing the second half of the first movement. Soon after the section starts, Mahler makes a brilliant effect with a series of sustained horn notes. These notes begin innocently enough, but each one is gradually transformed into an ominous snarl. Since this effect is impossible on an individual instrument, Mahler mutes the third and fourth horns for the snarly tone, and has the first and second horns begin the note with an open, normal tone. Then the first and second horns diminish in volume as the muted horns increase, making a smooth transition from one of music's noblest sounds to one of its nastiest.
Plötzlich langsamer. The double bar. Yes. Also D major. There is that. All right, gentlemen, come. Let's have it. Come. You have the theme. You have one. This is what I have to hear. And the first trombone should be give a little more than the second and third. This is you have the lead here. Same thing. Horns 3/4. The diminuendo begins one bar after the amazing. The best thing would be, gentlemen, first violins, if count from there where we begin. 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth, the sixth bar, mezzo forte. So there's a mezzo forte and diminuendo. Next bar is already piano. Now, horns. This is always this way. First and second horn have fortissimo diminuendo. And then the third and fourth horn are muted and have a crescendo. So then you cover the first and second. May I have the same thing? The same thing. Was not correct. please give me the ermäßigend. The fourth bar of what we had, where we had begun, the fourth bar, the ermäßigend. And trombones. The 16th is too broad. Ram, pita, ram, papa, rim, papa. May I have this bar? One. First trombone, please don't play the first note in this last bar longer. It is a little too long. Tim, ba, ta, ram, ba, ba. A little shorter. The first on one, you know? The same bar. One. The same thing, my friend. The same bar, fourth bar. Let me explain, Pauls. After 13, the third bar, I beat three. So I give you your entrance then. I beat this way, my friends. One, two, three, bar. You understand? Number 13? One. 13, come.
As you can see, there is much in the preparation of a work for performance and recording that the public never sees. And with this record, we give you a glimpse behind the scenes of a recording session with a great conductor at work. The preparations that brought us to this recording session you've been hearing began in the summer of 1960. Bruno Walter told us that he was ready at last to record what he believed to be Mahler's most important work. He had hitherto seemed reluctant to do so, almost as reluctant as Mahler had been to compose it. And from the weight of accumulated superstition about Ninth Symphonies, this is understandable. However, after 4 years of successful recording, the Columbia Symphony, hand-picked from the cream of Los Angeles musicians, had become, in a very real sense, Bruno Walter's instrument, and he felt ready and confident to attack the Ninth. In preparation, we listened together to his old and unsatisfactory recording of a 1938 Vienna concert, while watching and marking the score. This gave us a grasp of the problems we faced, and we set to work to solve them. Since Mahler has so carefully indicated the phrasing and dynamics of all the instruments in the score, Walter had in most cases to be sure only that the musicians adhered rigorously to Mahler's demands. The conductor's main preoccupation was with how to beat most clearly the complex rhythms which continually give three notes to one section of instruments, while another group is playing four in the same time period. Three against four, triple and duple time simultaneously. For this not to sound chaotic takes skilled musicians as well as forethought and perfect technique on the conductor's part. My immediate job was to divide the symphony into manageable sections, each of which could be rehearsed and recorded in a three-hour session. For this 80-minute work, we needed six sessions, each containing from 12 to 15 minutes of finished music, or, in other words, a total of 18 hours to complete the entire work. When I settled the dates with the orchestra contractor, he began to notify the enormous number of musicians involved. This is no longer the classical orchestra of Beethoven with its pairs of woodwinds. Mahler specifies four flutes plus piccolo, three oboes plus English horn, three clarinets plus piccolo clarinet and bass clarinet, three bassoons plus contrabassoon, a large brass section, various timpani and percussion players, two harps, and the usual strings, first and second violins, violas, cello, and double basses. When Dr. Walter arrived at the hall, I left him to change into his rehearsal garb and went out to fuss a bit over the orchestral seating, as important and touchy a thing as the microphone placement itself. When this was satisfactorily arranged, an engineer placed the mics where experience told us they would best cover their orchestral section. Later, while Dr. Walter rehearsed, we would listen and balance the sound, making changes in levels and microphone placement as the ear dictated. By the time Dr. Walter was ready for the first take, there was virtually nothing more of a technical nature that needed doing. Now that the scene is set, let's listen as Bruno Walter rehearses the second movement of Mahler's Ninth Symphony.
We do the second movement of the symphony. And gentlemen, the difficulty is, it's very different if one part plays piano, the other part plays forte. So don't just join the others. Everyone should look what his marking is. It's very different. May I have you?
Incidentally, you will hear Dr. Walter's stamp on the podium at the downbeat before the entrance of the main violin theme, 17 seconds from the beginning of the movement. His years in Vienna had gotten the Ländler rhythm so firmly in his blood, he was unable to control this dance-derived impulse, and he did it each time the bar returned, even during the takes, despite my reminders.
All right, so gents, come. We are too loud, we are too loud. Very piano in bassoons. Come once more. Put the mezzo on the C. Forte, Mr. Lord, the solo. Very audacious. May I have it once more? Must be soft and in bassoon. Gentlemen, clarinets could give more. Play fortissimo. Well, let's begin once more. From beginning.
And so they work on. Bruno Walter's patient guidance and gentle, insistent correction takes the jumble of notes, the confusion of instruments and individual wills, and fashions them into music, a work of art. The session is now half over, and several things must yet be done. The contrabassoon must be encouraged to disregard his normal accompanying function and play out on his solo. And the very ending of the movement must be gone over again before the actual business of recording can take place. When this occurs, I must shift the weight of my attention from balance and microphones to the playing of the music itself. Mistakes must be kept track of. Suspect balances must be brought to Dr. Walter's attention to see if he wants to readjust orchestral dynamics. Pluses and minuses are written in my score for checking during the playbacks. And during the playbacks, the control room is crowded with musicians. This music is new to them, and they are both stunned and fascinated by it, eager to hear whether it makes sense when put together. Bruno Walter listens with his eyes shut, conducting again, occasionally making a remark to one of the musicians. Deep breaths explode from him at climaxes or crucial downbeats. And when the very audible foot stamping is heard, he looks at me, smiling. Guilty, he says. No doubt about it, guilty with extenuating circumstances. And we all laugh. But we are still rehearsing the second movement, and there's still work to be done.
I must see it, and it's very well. Gentlemen, give me once more the last double bar. The double bar after, oh, let me have 27 once more. It's very tricky. I could hear a little more of the bass clarinet. Give it a hint more. 27. In bassoons. Make a diminuendo. I know it's very difficult. Try to do it. 27. Before the double bar, you know? Give me the double bar, two bars before. Two before the double bar, with the timpani come in. Yeah, clarinets are a little too loud. Mezzo piano, same thing, same. And the third and fourth horn, fortissimo. Come. First horn here. Dum, 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 dum. I must hear it very well, although it is very piano, even pianissimo. You have sehr gemessen. Give me once more the double bar, just the double bar. After 27, the double bar. Could we make a tape?
Okay. Yes, I think so. Can the Count of Bassoon give more at the Serre du Mechlich?
Yeah.
And all the way through there, from there until you stop. I don't hear any more enough. All right, let's make a tape.